dream last night. A vision. I saw a world full of people. Everybody was dancing and screaming loud. They were just there to listen to the music. It was deep. It was underground. Let's turn the world into a dance floor.
Are you guys ready for a state of trance? Put your hands in the air. Come on.
This is a State of Trance podcast.
Yes, and welcome to a new State of Trance podcast. My name is Ruben de Ronde, and I'm joined in today by a legend.
Thank you.
I can say legend because Michel Hanslode is here. How are you doing, man?
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm healthy and looking good. So, yeah.
Yeah, and humble as always.
Yeah, always. Always.
Hey, first of all, a little introduction because I guess maybe a newer generation doesn't really know anything about Michel Hanslode. So maybe a short introduction about yourself.
My start with music was a mix CD on a mix compilation on Tiesto's label Black Hole Adventure Trust back in 1998. I really had to think.
That was the first one, right?
That was the first one, yeah, and the seventh one. And from there, it went pretty sky high. Played the biggest, or at least the big festivals in Holland, because outside Holland there was not that much at the moment. But Trans Energy main stage, Dance Valley, all the big festivals. I was allowed to play, and from there on, just keep rolling a bit. Sometimes a bit faster, sometimes a bit slower, especially slower.
So you were going through the same growth as, for example, Ferry and Tiesto, you just mentioned, and Armin, in the same period of time that you saw trends developing what it is right now, I guess.
Yeah.
First of all, you mentioned it in Trans We Trust compilation, the very first one. How did you come about mixing that one?
Pretty obvious. Tiesto was a colleague of mine at a Basic Beat store in Rotterdam.
Yeah.
I worked at the office. I was building their website and that kind of stuff. And I keep giving him mixtapes just to show off, because he was getting some attention in Holland. And one time he promised me, like, when I got my own label, you will have your own compilation.
Oh wow!
So that's and he kept that promise. So that's pretty nice. And it was one of the first main trance compilations. So yeah, I got a lot of attention over there. So it's yeah, that's how it started.
That one was even released before In Search of Sunrise, I think.
Or yeah.
I'm not sure.
No.
But it was...
Ask Google.
We have to ask Google.
Yeah.
And from there on, you mentioned you started playing at big festivals. And first it was in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
I would love to see it from your eyes, like from your perspective. How did you see trance grow as it did?
For me it was pretty difficult because... I was pretty stubborn at that time because I thought I did not have to produce music just being a DJ, because I still believe it's a different job.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't say so, but it's a different job. And I was really stubborn and I didn't want to produce. And then I think I lost contact with the dub guys, because also Armin, Tiesto, Ferry, they all had releases and I didn't, and then I lost the contact somehow. But then again, in Holland I always stayed loved, and but I never really experienced the real trance outside Holland. I had some stuff.
You played in Norway quite a lot.
I played in the US sometimes, South Africa, Australia. But never the main, like the Dream States or whatever. I've never been booked there. So guys, if you're listening.
Insomniac, hello.
Hello.
No, because Armin mentioned it before as well. Like when Armin went to Norway for the first time, he was traveling with you as a warm-up, right?
Yeah, he was my warm-up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have any vivid memories of that?
No, the only memory I have of that is that I think he just met Erica in that period, and she came over to Norway as well.
Okay.
And she was so sick of the flight and everything, because the weather was really bad. I mean, I think it was somewhere in January, so a lot of snow, a lot of wind.
January in 1922, the propeller planes.
Yeah. No, but she was really sick, and that's the Armin was not happy because they were really, really a young couple in love. Yeah. It's really cute to see. So that's that's somehow a memory I still have. So
and probably Erika's first trip with Armin to a gig.
Yeah, probably. Could be. Yeah, because it was I think before 2000. I think 1999.
Well, yeah.
No, it was the year Communication was released because that's when I met him. So that's a long time ago.
It's a good memory. And if any other juicy stories that you experienced in these times? Well, I'm looking for a scoop here, Misha. Come on.
Yeah, well, I had a funny thing with Johan Giele once.
Yeah.
It was really funny. It was also in that period. And we both came from a festival here in Holland. I'm not sure. It was in the Jaarbeurs. It was by ID&T. It was called Massive.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah. I remember that. Massive, yeah.
And the night after, we had to play both together in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting front row. And the stewardess was explaining what we should do. And Johan was like getting contact with the stewardess and trying to point her to her mouth because there was something.
Yeah.
You know, like when you point to someone's mouth. And she was like looking at her because... So I guess she recognized Johan.
Yeah.
And for one moment, that stewardess like hit Johan in the face. Shut the fuck up.
What?
I'm the boss here. Pay attention. And still now, if I have contact with Johan, the first thing we say, okay, upper left corner, mate. So there's something. It was really funny.
We have to ask Johan about that.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord. And then, so you did the compilation, you did, of course, I've seen you play at Dance Valley and Trans Energy. I was there on the dance floors as well. And was that before or after you started Gesture Music?
At the same time.
Same time.
Same time. We thought it was, it's always been somehow my career that, for me, it was never possible to reach the main labels.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because I produce my music, but I cannot get that level. And I didn't want to use ghost producing. But then I was stubborn to do everything. I wanted doing it. And then I was stubborn. I want to do everything myself. And I just could not reach that level of a Ferry and Armin and et cetera, et cetera. And to get my music released, I had to start my own label. Pretty honest, it's like the main labels didn't take it, so then you're gonna release it yourself, and it was still kind of a success.
It was,
and we just stopped when the music was changing from vinyl to digital.
Mm-hmm.
We could not make because it was like a hobby, and we pulled the plug before we
just in time,
time before all the MP3 wars and all the downloads, and so that's why we stopped that.
Yeah, because I remember Gesture Music, you had Remark.
Yeah, and First Second.
First Second was really your baby.
Yeah, it was absolutely. Yeah.
And are you ever planning to pick that up again, to do a label like that again?
No, not myself. At the moment, I'm working as A&R for Grotesque.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started a new label, Grotesque Dark, with the darker and the slower stuff. Some things are really... I think next year we're going to build it up. We're first trying to get some releases which really fit in that genre. But I'm not going to do everything myself again. No, it's...
Because you had quite some iconic releases. You also had some artists that didn't release anywhere else before and they signed with you.
Yeah.
I remember an Osgur Khan, Airbase.
Airbase.
It was Ozone also Airbase, I think?
Yeah, Ozone is Airbase. Yeah, Jesper. Yeah.
And what else did you have? You had such amazing... you had Menno de Jong, Myth, Million Fold.
Yeah.
With a remix on the B-side, I remember this, with one of his first remixes, I think, Marcus Schultz.
Really?
Yeah, Myth, Million Fold, Marcus Schultz remix.
I can't even remember.
Yeah. Amazing remix.
We also had like remixes from John O'Kella and Alex Morf. And I know we had... we were really, we didn't like the John O'Callaghan remix because I never heard of him back then because that's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
He was like coming up and we had like a furious email from his manager and we took it from there. So that's okay. But it's funny if you think about it. I can't remember Marcus Schultz. Really.
Yeah. Myth, Millionfold, Marcus Schultz.
Okay.
100%. It's an amazing remix. I hope that I get it right now because now I'm putting myself my head on the how do you say it, on the wood block. It's gonna be interesting. No, for sure, because I have it on vinyl. Oh, I have it on vinyl.
I've got a release called like that.
I have it on vinyl.
Yeah.
And we created the track once together. This track remains without a
title.
That shows the level of our communication,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This week you came to the studio with a new project, Hellsloat.
Yeah.
Tell us about Hellsloat.
Yeah, it's like the first 3-4 months of the lockdown in Holland. I was all locked at home.
Yeah.
No job. So I was looking for things to do, and of course you can make music, but I was trying to explore a different sound. So I've been looking a lot of tutorials of the more deeper sounds, how to create it, and I wanted to do more myself again. And I started with just basic, some trance, classic MIDI stuff. Mm-hmm. So I had a melody, so I could really, really start with it, with something that I already loved. And somehow it went really, really, well, not fast, it was slow.
Yeah.
But the creativity just kicked right in. And I think I did in 3 months, I did like 4 or 5.
Oh, wow.
Full bootleg. They could be released, but the labels mostly it's they're not going to take it. Mm-hmm. But like I played Armin, his Shivers, when I play it, people come asking when it's released and et cetera. So that's when it started to, started to grow.
Yeah.
And then I started to work together with Michael de Koker. Mm-hmm. I know him for like, I think already maybe 10, 15 years. And he is helping the final step.
The mixing, the mastering.
And sometimes editing adding or removing small sounds that are not correct or whatever. But I think, at this moment we are, it's not really a team because we never sit together. We always send stuff. Mm-hmm. Up before it, but it's trying to say that it's getting more. And the funny thing is now that for me it never happened that a State of Trance said yes immediately to a track. A pure Pure Trance said yes immediately. No changes. No nothing. And for me that's new. To be honest, I never had that. For me, it's already a mission accomplished. For me, that it's that new sound that I do mostly myself. It gives me, a big hooray. It's all party up in my head at the moment. So it's,
That's interesting. So you go from starting your own label because your songs got rejected. 20 years later, you start a new alias, a new way of producing, and suddenly signed.
Yeah, it's there. Yeah. Yeah. It's.
And jumping back, and because Rush is also a rework of a classic.
Yeah.
So that's one of the classics that inspired you to make it?
Yeah, it was and it's really funny because I was, first it was another track, but I'm not sure what it was. And I've got a good friend of mine. We always send each other WhatsApp messages with videos of really old classics. And then I'm talking about tracks from 1993, 1994. And he sent me something, and it was an old disco track. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure what it was, but then I noticed a certain bass line that like, I know this bass line. And then he sent me the track 69 Rushed.
Yeah.
And then, that's that acid loop. And then I started to look and they sampled the old disco track. But that sample did not work out. So I just played the bass line. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. But the melody that's something else. That's Hole in One. Hole in One from
something.
Yeah, something. The funny thing is the track was done without that main melody in
So it was about the bass line.
It was all about the bass line, and I sent it to a couple of guys just to find some response. And Robert Nixon, he filmed playing that song on SoundCloud and adding a melody that he thought he fitted.
Yeah.
And what I did was just looking at his fingers because I can't play, I cannot read notes.
Yeah.
But I was just
so you were like playing. Play, pause. Play, pause.
Yeah, that's what I did. I was just looking at his fingers and then I suddenly, what is this is Hole in One. Mm. And that's an old track that wears a lot of applause and a big audience. You hear cheering and whatever. And he played that. So I added that. So probably I have to pay him some credits for this stuff.
Well, why not? That's a good, I didn't know that. There's a good story about it. So Helsloot. Now the question is, your actual name is Misha Helsloot. How much fun did you have putting together an artist named Helsloot, like slowed in slowing?
Yeah. No, it's
was that a moment like, oh, that's
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was together with Daniel Van Roy.
Yeah.
Van Roy. Well, the problem is for me and probably Ruben de Ronde, well, probably goes well in English.
Ruben de Ronde.
Yeah. But Misha Helsloot always gets funny somehow. It's always Misha Helsloot. It becomes everything. And I've always been looking for how to write down my name so in English they understand. So they pronounce it as Dutch.
Ah.
And I was just having fun with Daniel on WhatsApp or on Skype, whatever. And we started to think about how to write it down. And then finally, we came to, it's slow.
Yeah.
But when you say Helsloot, like how it's written in English, then you get the Dutch way to pronounce it.
So basically what you did is you went into the dictionary and you saw Helsloot and you were like, okay, if you need to translate it, this is how you pronounce it.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to make it the labels that always say no to me.
Yeah.
I wanted to make it difficult. So I put it in a double point and a different
which different makes character. It impossible to have it on Spotify.
No, it works. Because I'm also a programmer. I know in all search engines the double the double point and I don't even know how
the Norwegian thing. The Norwegian thing.
It's always replaced with a normal O.
Okay.
So when you're searching, it always comes up. So it should not be a problem. It's only a problem creating the artist name because that I had to back and forth with Spotify and Beatport to write it correct.
Yeah, because when I exported the tracklist of this week from Recordbox, I have Sönin Cry for Unknown Judah Beats. It took out that, oh, you don't have any problems with the Recordbox there? Nothing.
No, the thing is that the Norwegian sign that can go that works in record books should be at least, but file names cannot have the double dot.
Yeah.
So that's
the only problem.
For me, it's not a problem. It's just to payback time.
I have a question from one of the fans, Elena 69 Luca. She always has great questions. She wanted to know from you who had the idea for this project?
Basically me, but like us, I told you while we were having lunch.
Yeah.
My social media manager is married to Michael de Koker.
Yeah.
He's a ghost producer. And he just said he cannot do anything anymore without, he cannot say what he is doing.
Because he is signing NDAs.
He is making music for other people. But he used to do music for, I'm not sure his own alias, but he did a lot for Cloud9 and also I think Armada, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he also remixed one of my tracks back in the days.
Yeah, and he did something for, I think, Cosmic Gate, which was a hit.
Verrekortje, Carte Blanche. Oh, he was in the top 40.
So he's a good producer, but he is unable to tell people that he did that. Mm-hmm. And he felt that urge again that he was he wanted to tell people.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that, and I'll just said, shall we do something together? But he doesn't like to be in the spotlight, and I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
he just don't like it to travel and to play but I love to play this kind of sound. I mean, with my last Open to Close in The Hague, I think I played like this for 2.5 hours. But then people start to complain because they come from Misha Helsloot and they're like,
come on, speed up.
Yeah,
I've had it also.
Yeah, it's not really complaining, but they are telling, we'd love to speed up a little bit.
I had at a recent gig, I was playing and someone was keeping his phone in the air and it stood 138.
Yeah,
pointing like 138. I'm like, I just started. I'm playing my second track. I love to build my sets from 128 to 138.
Yeah.
In like 1.5 hours. But please let me tell my story.
Yeah, but that's but on the other hand, yeah, I can relate to what you're saying. But on the other hand, I can also relate that when people are on the dance floor, they want to hit the roof.
Yeah.
You know, they want to go, and probably they don't want to wait 3 hours.
But it's open to close or
yeah,
a long
yeah,
set.
Yeah, but still again. So
yeah,
it's different. Yeah. But then it for me it started. I like to play more like this,
mm-hmm.
and I'll hope I'll also have gigs like this because in probably the real techno events is not going to work out. So it's more the progressive stuff I have to look mm-hmm. for. But it's for me it's kind of new, starting all the way new. I got a lot of new contacts now because you're playing different music and mm-hmm. Got different connections with. Yeah, management or whatever. So it's I'm starting all over new. So it's
so as you mentioned, you created like 4 or 5 tunes by yourself before you started getting in contact with Michael.
Yeah.
So it was your own idea, and then Michael came in later on. And
well, because he was busy, we could not work together. But I did not wanna.
He wants to go.
Yeah, I did not want to lose the creativity. So I just started and he got really mad. Well, not mad. He got crazy.
Yeah.
All the things I was sending. Is this good? Is this good? Do you like this? Should I do this? Should I do that? And then finally some vocal tracks we really do together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a next level. That's even the funny thing is that the one thing that I, when a first vocal track was really done, I did it together with Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
I was really proud of that.
I love that one. Yeah, but I've been playing it already also.
I was proud of what I'd done because it's all the tutorials I followed with stereo image and all the things I never knew about. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to Michael and then I realized I still suck.
No,
but he can put it to just another level with everything.
Yeah.
And then still mine is good, but he's just, well, for me is.
But how I see, this is we're sidetracking 100%, but how I see it is if you're making music, if you're making a song, it's like a football team. You have a defender, someone's good in that. You have an attacker, someone's good in that. And that's the same. I do the same thing. I make my music like start to finish, but someone else masters it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
so
sure.
I would say that's the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, we also produce together. It's mm-hmm. it's not that we are sitting next to each other, but we send stuff up and forward for just trying to figure out what direction we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, he always takes care of the finished product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's really good at that. So.
And you mentioned already, you started making these progressive bootlegs on old classics. And I have a question here from Ale Saland, who wants to know, what is your favorite trance classic? And are you going to rework this or something like that?
Yeah, that's one I already did. And that's Shivers.
Yeah.
And sorry for Susanna, I love the original.
Birth of an Angel.
Birth of an Angel. I have memories from, I think Armin Only when I heard it for the first time. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it was the Yardbirds or
was maybe, Ahoy, I think.
Maybe Ahoy in it. Yeah. I really loved that and I did that. And somehow another one is For an Angel, Paul van Dyk.
Mm.
I just don't dare.
No.
Somehow. I don't know. It's I tried it, but somehow I could not translate the vibe of the melody into.
That's really hard.
Yeah. At the moment, I'm working on I Don't Deserve You from Paul van Dyk.
Okay.
Because the vocals, the vocals fit in deeper stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I already contacted them and they don't want to do anything. So but I'm going to do it anyway.
That's the problem. But that's why you have bootlegs. And it's nice that you can play long sets with a lot of your own bootlegs,
absolutely.
I guess.
Yeah.
Nadine37 wants to know, I love your stuff, first of all. That's what she says.
Thank you.
What inspired you to take a deeper, more progressive route? Well, you already touched base on it, but we didn't actually talk about it. Why did you start enjoying deeper sounds more than uplifting stuff in lockdown?
Yeah, maybe it's because I have to say it right. I can't stand uplifting trends while I'm working.
Yeah.
I love it. I love to hear sets from Armin, Alain Filat, mention them, but not when I'm working. Of course, I still like the also other music like rock or whatever, but basically I work best on techno, and then mostly the deeper stuff, Boris Brejcha, I really like.
Music that keeps on going.
Yeah, it just those. Yeah, I always go. I always name it the train techno.
Yeah.
It just keeps going, and basically when I heard the remix of, I think it was Universal Nation.
Yeah,
Not sure by who. Van Pot? No.
Oh, the one that was on number one on Beatport.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah. Then I had like. It's an obvious you should not do it like that, like all the time, but it could work. And then I started to, well, it was just a seed in my head. Like I can start doing like this. And 2 years ago on my album, I already had a remix of Sean Dexter. I can't remember the title, but that was also slow, but then I did it. I call it the Michel Hasselhoff Deep remix.
Yeah.
But then I found it's something completely different. It's a different crowd. It's different, different vibe, different labels. So I kind of felt I should start something new.
So it's before lockdown. It was one of his tracks that started to.
Yeah, to go deeper. And basically, if I go back to my my old hard drive in my archive for my studio. Most of my tracks, which were really released, were all slower. The really uplifting. It was like, it's not that I'm saying I'm pushed into the 138, but somehow you had to go with the flow, just to keep up with the trends names. So yeah.
Do you think that's more producers, not necessarily only in uplifting, are kind of captured in their sound that they're not allowed or they don't think they are allowed to do anything different than what they do normally?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I really respect Armin for doing everything under his... Well, not everything. Of course, he got Gaia and...
Rising Star.
Yeah, Rising Star. But then again, if I listen to Armin, for example, 10 years ago on Armin Only, and I listen to his tracks he's doing now with David Michel, it's something completely different, but still you can recognize...
The chord structure is there.
Yeah, that's still Armin. And I really, really have respect for daring to put it on one name.
Yeah.
I mean, I can do it. And that's, of course, it's a totally different level, of course. But when I do a Michel Hasselhoff track and it's 124,
yeah,
it's not going to work.
So would you give any advice to any other producers that might be listening to this that are kind of struggling being captured? What would you say to them?
It's very, very spiritual.
Yeah.
Follow your heart.
Follow your heart.
No, but that's the thing. It's like, I never know where I'm going to start. Never know it's going to be 138 or 124 or whatever. Just try to follow what makes you happy.
Yeah. Because you mentioned it on air also that because you're doing this, it also benefits in the 138.
Absolutely,
stuff.
Yeah. I did a collab with a guy from Norway, Astrofek, Neil. I did a collab with a new guy, and it's not exploding in my head, but it's because I learned so much about the EQing and the mastering stuff. Now the uplifting is also easier because everything is already set up.
Yeah,
and you just have to put in your IDs, and it's going a lot easier.
Okay, yeah. That's interesting because when I go back in time, I remember listening to your mix CDs. Back then, I'm talking about 2002. You were also doing a lot of progressive stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, but in the meantime, throughout the years, you became more 138, more 138.
Yeah, because I can remember at the I'm not sure where it was. I think Dordrecht. I'm not sure. And then I really wanted to start, well, like you said, I normally started my sets in maybe 128 and then I build it up in, back then you still had 2 hour sets. I build it up to 138 and the owner came complaining because it was too slow. Like, hello, that's the way I play.
Yeah.
And then more and more, it were more trance events and then people expecting that sound, mm-hmm. especially well if you've done two in Trans Retrust CDs. But even if you're listening to Trans Retrust number one, it also starts slow.
Yeah,
and I mean it's not back in time it was like not really a trans event but just a dance event, mm-hmm. so you could do anything you like. But these days, if you're booked for 1 hour, you're probably gonna start 138.
Yeah, you have to start.
Yeah,
banging
you have out, to yeah. start banging.
I have it sometimes now that I'm a little bit scared to play micro progressive stuff on big stages because I think this is too slow. I need to bang it out.
Yeah,
it's kind of sucks. But when I was preparing for this episode, I was also listening to a bit of a monumental moment. I mentioned this in the broadcast of State of Trance as well. Back in 2003 in May, State of Trance 95. You were a guest mixer here on the show. Let's have a listen here.
So, Calypso.
Calypso.
Is een feest type 2, heet dat.
Ja.
Ik sta zelf van 1 tot van half 2 tot 3.
Ja.
Maar het is gratis entree.
Dus waar is dat, Calypso?
Calypso, Rotterdam.
Oké, okay, goed. Dus ja, ik weet het wel.
Maar de Ouwe Riks bioscoop in Rotterdam aan de Mauritsweg, als ik het goed heb. Maar het is gratis entree, dus nou, wat let je?
Oké, okay. Dus als je Misha Helsloot aan het werk wil zien morgenavond in Calypso, Rotterdam is zijn eigen thuisbasis. And the funny thing is, that was of course Armin and Misha back in 2003. And the funny thing is, that Thai party, that was organized by myself and Jonas.
Really?
Yeah. So I was listening back to this episode and I was 20 years old and we organized that party in the Calypso together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
You probably can't remember. This was when you were a superstar and I was just my little my little Ruben.
That's the other way around.
No. So it was kind of funny when I was listening to that broadcast and this came up, I was like, wow, it's unbelievable that I know you that long already. That's crazy.
I made promotion for your event, so you still owe me.
Yeah. Well, I haven't earned anything on those parties. No.
No, that's the way it was.
But type, yeah, it's funny to hear that. But do you have any memories from the recording the broadcast back then in 2003?
Yeah, because my wife back then was pregnant of my first son.
Yeah.
And so it was still kind of hectic. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, getting a baby is not, you're not doing it every day.
No.
And yeah, it was still with vinyl. And that's no beat sync, no, it's, well, you find it out, well, you know it yourself, it's working hard.
Yeah.
Playing with vinyl is like listening all
it's
the
focus.
Time. It's focus all the time. And, but back then, if you do it every day, well, not every day, but at least 3 times every weekend, it's getting a habit and it just flows somehow. Yeah. But yeah, it was really, really funny because Armin was kind of growing and I was somehow on the same level. And then it's, well, kind of funny because the funny thing is now, every time when I come here, it's still like, how you say that?
Gezellig.
Gezellig. No. intimidating. And it's not in a bad way.
Yeah.
It's just because you realize who he is, what he became. And back then it was different. You were more like one of the guys,
yeah.
You know. And but then that's what I really liked back then. Even with Ferry and Tiesto, then when you played together, it was just like old jongens knetterbrood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the way it was. You know, it's like you all started the same. You had the same problems and the same same flights, the same everything. So that's really big difference from now. Well, at least for me, it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, kind of, you have a new second start right now.
Yeah.
Kind of feels good, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm super happy that you came by to do your guest mix, of course, and of course recording this podcast. So thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
And that's it for this one. I hope you're going to join in for the new one. I don't know yet who's going to be the guest, but check our socials and I'll see you next time for a new podcast. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in. To check full episodes of A State of Trance for free. Simply visit ArminRadio.com. A State of Trance returns next week.